U.S. Envoy Dennis Ross heads back to the Middle East tomorrow in a last-ditch effort to reach some sort of Israeli-Palestinian agreement before President Clinton leaves office. Another deadline will come early next month when Israel holds new elections. Prime Minister Ehud Barak called for the vote in December, saying he wanted a new mandate for peacekeeping. But as NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports, it seems less and less likely that he'll get it.
In a main square of Tel Aviv, there's a haunting memorial to 14 weeks of violence. Rows of white cutout figures form a mini cemetery, a figure for each person killed, Israeli and Palestinian, each shape flickering at night in the glow of a candle. Inside a white tent, about a dozen, mostly young people, sit in a circle and sing for peace. The memorial is manned by Israelis who've had loved ones killed in past wars with the Palestinians, in the Intifada, in freak acts of violence. Tali Gorali Torel's teenage daughter was killed in 1985. An Egyptian soldier shot her dead while the family was on vacation. Torel says she's come to this square every day for 6 weeks to promote a peace deal. It's a desperate act, she says, and a seemingly futile one. Israelis pass by with hardly a glance.
They don't listen. They do not listen. They're sitting in their houses. The drums cannot reach their hearts.
The contrast could not have been greater with last night's mass rally in Jerusalem. An estimated 200,000 Israelis turned out, many wrapped in blue and white Israeli flags, an overwhelmingly right-wing crowd who cheered hardline leaders. They pledged never to share sovereignty in Jerusalem, a key component of Mr. Clinton's latest peace package. As the Palestinian uprising drags on, Israelis are increasingly reluctant to support a sweeping peace deal, even more reluctant to support caretaker Prime Minister Barak. The latest opinion polls give him a meager 24% standing. He long ago lost his majority in parliament. Pointing out all this, Israel's attorney general has suggested Barak lacks legitimacy to continue negotiating the state's future. Peace activist Amiram Goldblum disputes that, but even he's written off any breakthrough for now. He says the best to hope for is a non-binding declaration of intention.
As long as it's not something that may be imposed on the next government, then I don't see any problem with it. This is what he's bringing to the people in order to decide whether they want him or they want somebody else.
It's been thought that presenting a peace plan would be Barak's best chance for re-election, but that logic is breaking down. Political analyst Gerald Steinberg says as details of Barak's reported concessions emerge, it's clear the gaps with the Palestinians are getting wider, not more narrow. A deal now could backfire.
Bad deal is going to hurt him. It's going to be worse than no deal at all. And I think that's one of the reasons as more and more details of the negotiations come out and as the violence continues and the question is raised, will any agreement in fact be implemented and honored by the Palestinians or is this simply war by other means?
As the election campaign gears up, some high-profile past Barak supporters have jumped ship, among them former President Ezer Weitzman. He told reporters, "I haven't seen Ehud's peace yet. So far, he's only brought war." An Israeli newspaper described a Barak campaign rally as having an air of defeat. Clearly panicked, some in Barak's Labor Party have suggested Barak step aside in favor of former Prime Minister Shimon Peres. Peres is a five-time election loser, but nonetheless is polling better than Barak against right-wing opposition leader Ariel Sharon. The potential challenge could hang over Barak's entire campaign. Under Israeli election law, a party can change its candidate as late as 4 days before the vote. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Jerusalem.